Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for Friday the 28th of October 2022. I'm joined by Harry.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about how Elon Musk has taken Twitter and a meltdown is currently in progress. I've completely forgotten what your segments were about.
Oh, cheers.
It's the only thing that's on my mind at the moment.
He's so excited. He's waiting to get his account
back.
Yeah,
I'm kind of excited about it, actually.
He's just completely forgotten. We're also going to be talking about how you in the UK can choose to rehome a drug dealer today and how the Daryl Brooks trial was a complete farce.
But before we get to all of that, at 3:30 p.m. today, we have our monthly gold Zoom call that me and Harry will be doing. So if you'd like to come and hang out with us and you're a gold member, we'll see you in about, 2 hours. Two and a half hours. God damn it.
Got there eventually. That earwax has got to your brain.
Shut up. Anyway, let's begin. So Elon Musk has finally closed the deal with Twitter after, what was it, 7 long grueling months in the back and the forth and the will he, won't he, the suing him to force him to buy the platform to now him eventually actually closing the deal. Elon now owns Twitter. But before we go on, we have a freemium article. This is a quite an old article now, but it's a really good one by Hugo. I miss Hugo's articles. I really do. We've made free. It's got a silver members audio track. It's just about how taxation's screwing everything up. And he's right, isn't he? Anyway, so moving back to the subject, Elon owns Twitter. This is now done and dusted. Elon has... As they say, the world's richest man has confirmed his on-again, off-again deal to buy Twitter has gone through. So, yeah, because they sued him to make him buy it. And this is before Joe Biden had the chance to intervene and save democracy by...
Saving democracy every other day at this point, aren't we?
They are. Democracy's just on a knife edge, Harry. Anyway, so Elon Musk announced this by changing his bio to Chief Twit, which is amusing. But also, he tweeted, "Let that sink in." Literally, let the sink he is carrying into Twitter headquarters in with a big, stupid grin on his face. Now, I just want to say that there's something about having the internet, or at least part of the internet, preserved for normal people that I completely appreciate. But that's just the sort of, the vegetables. The real meat of the meal is the shitposting to me. if you're gonna conduct such and You'll see as we go through this, just the number of people and the magnitude of the importance of the people who are involved in all of this. Because everyone knows that Twitter's value is not its money-making capacity. Twitter's value is its ability to control the public discourse. The Biden regime knows it. Twitter staff know it. Elon knows it. You know it. Everyone knows Twitter has become the nexus where narratives about politics are generated and disseminated. Elon taking over Twitter in this kind of frivolous style, I enjoy it, I have to say. And he also tweeted out, "The bird is freed," which is a nice thing to say because it would be nice if we get everyone back, myself included, obviously. Anyway, so he also tweeted out, "Meeting a lot of cool people at Twitter today," which is rather...
For the first and last time.
Yeah, which is, A, hard to believe, to be honest. But B, let's take a look at what the average day in the life of a Twitter employee is, shall we? We got the video, John? If we don't have a video, then...
Welcome to a day in my life as a Twitter employee. So this past week, went to SF for the first time at a Twitter office, badged in. Honestly, took a moment to just soak everything in. What a blessing. Also, started my morning off with an iced matcha from the
pit. I think it's worse. I've turned into the corporate hamster wheel.
Quickly scheduled one of these little pod rooms, which were so cool. They're literally noise canceling. Took my meeting, got ready for lunch. Look how delicious this food looks. Oh my goodness, I was so overwhelmed. Then made my way down to this log cabin area. I don't know what this is, but it was really cool.
She doesn't know what it is. She's like, what is, I thought I'm here to work.
Also found this really cool meditation room that I thought was super neat. I didn't do any yoga, but they have this yoga room if you are a yogi, so also thought that was really cool. Had a couple more meetings in the afternoon, had a ton of projects that we needed to knock out. Say hey to my teammates. went to the library to kind of get some more work done. Obviously had to have our afternoon coffee, so made some espresso. And then before leaving for the day, had some red wine that's on tap. Went up to the rooftop and just honestly enjoyed the beautiful weather. So awesome trip.
I'm shocked these people know how to go to the toilet by themselves.
Have you ever seen the film Office Space?
I'm aware of it, but I've not watched it.
A, you should really watch it. Oh, okay. It's really good. Mike Judge is hilarious. But B, there's a part where in this office, they get a couple of guys in to assess what people are doing in the office because they're going to do a round of layoffs. And they just ask them, look, so what is it you actually do? Like, can you actually quantify the work you have done in a day? Because, so, yeah, I had a couple of meetings. So, okay, well, they could have not happened, couldn't they?
I mean, that was my old job before this one, is that half the day was just spent in meetings where we talk about what we're going to do and then also talk about the meeting that we've got planned for the day after.
Yeah, she must have done about 5 minutes of actual work in that day.
I think you're being generous there.
I think I might be.
I can't wait for Elon to just change this whole atmosphere by incorporating brutalist blocks that you sit in with posters strapped to the walls that just have the N-word on them.
Well, what I love about this is Twitter is literally going to be introducing... Elon is going to be introducing Twitter to the blender of capitalism. So he did, and I mean this quite literally, actually. He said he wanted to fire 75% of Twitter's 7,500 employees. So that's over 5,000 people he wants to cut. And to be honest with you, if that's the kind of material that Twitter employees post to social media themselves, yeah, they need to go. They're wasting your time.
It's not going to be hard to find people to cut, is it?
No.
McDonald's employees might find their wages decreasing sometime soon, though.
But yeah, there's going to be a lot of competition. But the point is, like, yeah, there's probably about 2,500 people, like engineers, like actual like logistical staff, all that sort of thing, that work on the back end. And then you've got the glossy, like social media using, you know, like unbelievably privileged woman who's just sat there drinking wine on tap at Twitter and getting paid for it.
I feel like those people are only employed as background objects to be in the Twitter's like recruitment videos.
Yeah.
Look at what a great environment we have.
And also to meet targets. Oh, we've got diversity targets.
Oh, yeah,
look,
the targets.
I mean, you know, 75% of our managers are women. And what do? They drink wine all day.
Join us and you too could spend 8 hours a day at the foosball table.
Yeah, and so Elon's like, yeah, well, you're all going.
Fair.
And the thing is, these job cuts were apparently planned anyway, we are told by Time. Twitter management planned to slice almost a quarter of the workforce, and Elon Musk is like, well, we can keep a quarter of the workforce. But this, of course, created a large amount of protest from the Twits, which I assume are people who work at Twitter. I think Elon may have coined that, because I think they call themselves Tweeps, but I think Twits is better. But yeah, if you can get to the next one, they produced a letter of protest that they submitted to Elon. And I thought I'd just read it because it's genuinely hilarious, right? To staff, Elon Musk and board of directors, we, the undersigned Twitter workers, believe the public conversation is in jeopardy. Sorry, we're not going to be able to censor people. That's what you're saying. Elon plans to lay off 75% of workers will hurt Twitter's ability to serve the public conversation. Good. A threat of this magnitude is reckless, undermines our users and our customers' trust in our platform. I can't stop smiling. And a transparent act, and is a transparent act of worker intimidation. Worker? That's a bit bloody generous, isn't it? What work? What work have you actually got done today, Parag Agrawal? Do you remember Elon tweeting that, messaging that in one of the board meetings?
No, I don't actually.
Right, so before the deal went through, he had a meeting, like a Zoom meeting, whatever, with Parag Agrawal and the rest of the Twitter board. And Parag's going on, he's giving him like corporate nonsense. And Elon's just like, what did you actually get done this week? So yeah, with the worker, we're going to put that on the shelf over there. Anyway, a threat to workers at Twitter is a threat to Twitter's future. Oh, thank God. These threats have an impact on us as workers and demonstrate a fundamental disconnect with the realities of operating Twitter. They threaten our livelihoods, access to essential healthcare. And in fact, I can't take this seriously. and the ability for visa holders to stay in the country they work in. Good, deport them. We cannot do our work in an environment of constant harassment and threats. Without our work, what bloody work? There is no Twitter, which would be the best end goal. We the workers at Twitter will not be intimidated. You're getting fired. You're not we the workers, you're the ex-employees down at the job centre.
If you're not intimidated, you can go and bravely collect your benefits.
Yeah, go in the yoga room and think about it for a while. We recommit to support just... I can't take any of this.
The Schadenfreude is infectious.
It is, but it's also the absolute comical level of just absurdity that they're bringing. We the workers won't be intimidated. It's like, bitch, go and get another prawn.
Oh, they're desperate to make you feel like they're the mine strikers, or something. You can't intimidate us, Thatcher.
Exactly. If this was the engineers who are doing the coding or looking after the actual hardware on the back end or something, I would have some respect for what they're saying. Well, yeah, you can't get rid of us because actually Twitter won't work. It's when it's the social media censors who are like, well, without us, Twitter's just not going to work. It's like, no, it's going to work brilliantly.
Yeah. Sandra, the bitchy HR manager, is furious at this.
Yeah. We call on Twitter management and Elon Musk to cease these negligent layoff threats. As workers, we deserve concrete commitments so we can continue to preserve the integrity of the platform. No, you're fired. Get out. And so they make a bunch of demands of the current leadership and future leadership. But the thing is, they've got no leverage because these are all people Elon wants to get rid of. So what are they going to do? Go on strike? Like, we're going to march out of the building and not do our jobs. Like, oh, thank God, that's going to save us money. Fewer liters of wine were drunk that day. And so then when it became apparent that this wasn't going to work, then that was emotional blackmail. You know? Got people like this. Hey, Elon Musk, if you can go to the next one. Yeah, if you can hover over this person's profile, just so you can see, for some reason, they're not verified, but they do work at Twitter. Oh, they deleted it. But this is a Twitter worker. Yeah, she deleted this. She got a bit of backlash on it. But hey, Elon, thanks for visiting Twitter in San Francisco. Hope you enjoyed your coffee at the Perch. Just one question. Was it fun to look at the faces of the people you said you'd be laying off? Did you not see his smile? Did you not see the joy on his face? Do you not see the joy on everyone else's faces? Have you not understand? Do you not understand the amount of sorrow you've brought to the world by banning Donald Trump? You've ruined thousands of journalists' careers by doing that. Which was another upside. Anyway, apparently all of this did get to Elon eventually. He's like, you know what? I'm not made of stone. I'm not a super villain, even though I act almost exactly like Hank Scorpio in every way.
He's even got the flamethrower as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, yeah. Now he controls most of the East, the West Coast. You know, I mean, like, I don't know what the difference between Elon and a supervillain actually is at this point. But he's our supervillain.
The fact that he doesn't seem to be evil against us.
Yeah.
There you go.
Good enough. Elon told Twitter employees that he doesn't actually now plan to cut 75% of the staff when he takes over the company, according to people familiar with the matter. Apparently it's 80%. No, I'm joking. He's still expected to cut staff as part of the takeover, though. So basically he's like, oh, I'm not going to cut 75%. Not on day one.
I'll just keep it to myself.
Yeah, it'll
from
be
now
10%
on.
Then. You know. But Elon, I think, is right about Twitter. Right? Twitter, everyone's like, oh, this is a hell site. This is so many terrible, blah, blah. And he is right. It is that, especially when I'm on it. But there is a good part of Twitter. And it is, as he says, the beautiful thing about Twitter is how it empowers citizen journalism. People are able to disseminate news without an establishment bias. And yes, when they're not afraid of being banned, for, say, posting something that has happened, I'm not even going to mention anything because we want to put this clip up on YouTube, and YouTube might be like, well, hang on a second, whack. That was wrong think. So at least on Twitter, you will be able to post some wrong think in the future, which is nice. And of course, this is not going to be without consequences. And so he tweeted out a post to Twitter advertisers. Can we get this up so I can read a few clips out of it, John? Basically, you need to say, look, I want to show you what my motivation is acquiring Twitter. The reason I acquired Twitter is because it is important to the future of civilization to have a common digital town square where a wide range of beliefs can be debated in a healthy manner without resorting to violence. Exactly my opinion on it. This is exactly what the centrists had been saying this whole time. The free speech absolutist, which Elon has described himself as in the past. There is currently a great danger that social media will splinter into right-wing and far right-wing and far left-wing echo chambers that generate more hate and divide our society. That's totally true. If you can go to the next one, He says he didn't do it for the money, which he's said before, because Twitter's never been profitable and never will be, although maybe, actually, he might be capable of actually making it profitable. He says, that said, Twitter obviously cannot become a free-for-all hellscape where anything can be said with no consequences. In addition to adhering with the laws of the land, our platform must be warm and welcoming to all, where you can choose your desired experience according to your preferences, just as you can choose, for example, to see movies or play video games, ranging from all ages to mature. And that's good. And that's a good idea. I mean, why not do that? Why not just literally it?
Just suggesting you can tailor your content that you actually look at a bit more than you could before. Mm. So if you are going to be triggered by stuff, you can just avoid it.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
And there's no doubt that, like, you know, the people, the engineers at Twitter could devise some kind of AI that, I mean, there are already like AI bots that can go through your Twitter account and write tweets for you in the style of things that you post to your Twitter account. Right. And so, yeah, I know. And it's
I was not aware of that.
Right? It's actually remarkable. And so I don't doubt that there's some kind of AI bots that they can use, you know, some script that can determine whether you can have a setting. So you have a very restrictive setting. No, I only want people with pronouns in their bios to reply to me. Okay, well, make it happen. You know, that doesn't mean that everyone has to be banned. But anyway, so that's, you know, pretty good. And he's trying to reassure advertisers. Say that this is not going to be terrible. Don't worry, you don't have to go anywhere, because of course they're going to try and pull advertisers. But if he's not doing it for the money and he personally owns it entirely, which he does now, so what? Anyway, so left-wing agitators were like, right, I've had enough of this. We're fleeing to a new left-wing social media platform called Tribal. Never heard of it.
It's quite amusing, quite a fitting title.
It is entirely
Tribal,
fitting.
You know, go for it.
But the thing is, why? Why are you fleeing to Tribal?
Well, I can only imagine it's because if they're not in control of the conversation, the parameters of it, they're worried that everybody is just going to mock them relentlessly.
People are going to misgender me on the Twitters.
Oh, dear.
Well, honestly, I think that's exactly it.
Good.
Because Elon is not going to kick them off. Like, a bunch of them are like, no, I'm staying. It's like, no one's asking you to go.
You know? Elon's bringing more people back.
Yeah. If you go, who am I going to post hate speech at? I'm joking. I'd never do that. but the point is, they're trying to promote this Tribal Social, a new pro-democracy Twitter alternative that Twitter users are fleeing to. Okay.
I mean,
delusional lunatics.
Elon said specifically he was buying Twitter to help to augment democracy by allowing democratic speech and discussion, but democracy doesn't really mean that, does it?
No, democracy means we win every election and you lose every election and you don't get to speak in your own defense to them.
That sounds reasonable.
Perfectly democratic.
If you're on the winning side.
I had a look at this Tribal Social. To all of the Trump supporters who are accusing us of censoring them on our new social network, we don't censor any posts. Our algorithms simply filter out fake news, bigotry, and hostility. If you want to trend on our network, your posts must be factual and free of bigotry.
Trans women are women. Trans women are women. Yeah. Trans women are women.
Well, skip. I'd rather go misgender people on Twitter. And so Elon went into Twitter HQ, and his first act was to fire Parag Agrawal, Chief Financial Officer Ned Segal, and the Trust and Safety Head, Vijaya Gad, the person who banned Donald Trump, but more importantly, banned me.
You personally?
Yes. I know she banned me personally. She was on Joe Rogan explaining to Joe and Tim why she banned me.
Elon there. Sargon says.
This is for Sargon.
Regards.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, good moves on day one. Strong moves on day one, I thought. You know, just ban a bunch of people who are obviously crap.
I did see an amusing 4chan, which was Giga Chad Parag. No one knows who he is. Becomes CEO of Twitter, does nothing, gets fired. $42 million severance.
There is that. I have seen previously, although I haven't got it to hand, that these people will be getting tens of millions of dollars in severance pay. So
comes with the corporate territory, I assume.
Yeah, it does. Frankly, I don't care. I hope they go and buy a yacht somewhere in Dubai.
As long as they stay far away from the public square for the rest of their lives, whatever.
Yeah, as long as they stop ruining everything for everyone else, I do not care. The Washington Post is not happy with this, obviously, because Agrawal, Ged, and Segal were their guys. He has suggested, Elon Musk has suggested, that he wants to loosen standards for the policing of harmful content, such as misinformation and hate speech. Good. And he suggested he would bring former President Donald Trump back to the platform and has decried censorship by social media companies. Fantastic. And I'll tell you what, right, the pictures of their faces when he went into the building are just bloody priceless. Can we get some of these pictures up, please, John? Just because they're so good. Look, I'm not sure who that is. People keep saying that's Vijaya Gadd herself.
I don't
think it is, though. I think that is just a very upset Twitter employee. And look at the other guy next to her just holding himself. like Elon, the asking, look, I'm here to fix this platform. And they're like, oh, God. If we get to the next one, who's that in the middle?
That's a familiar face, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? What on earth was former White House spokesperson Jen Psaki doing there? With a face like a slapped ass.
No different than usual.
No, normally she's a bit more condescending.
Yeah, but yeah. Normally she looks a bit more evil rather than defeated.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And don't they all just look toasted? Look at the guy next to her.
This looks like the cover for a rap group. Jen Psaki's about to drop a mixtape on you.
She is about to diss Elon Musk. And if you go to the next
one... And on Twitter, she'll be absolutely fine to do so, you know?
She will, yeah.
Elon's not going to censor you.
No, it'd be great. Just actually tears. Actually tears.
We are going to get new SJW reeing to the sky material from this.
Yeah, yeah. 2016
and I'm all
is
for
back,
it.
Boys,
I'm
yeah.
here. I'm here for it.
So yeah, Vijaya took working at Twitter out of her Twitter bio, which... was mildly satisfying, to be honest. And you had lots and lots of people pointing out that a couple of weeks ago, Project Veritas got the scoop on one Twitter executive, Alex Martinez, the lead client partner at Twitter, who literally was caught in a sting where he was complaining about Project Veritas stings. He was saying, I mean, literally at the end of this video, he's like, yeah, well, I mean, they sent around an email warning us. Don't just hang out with anyone you randomly meet because there could be some Project Veritas filming you. But luckily, I met you organically. And so we can go out and get drunk and I can spill all the beans.
You're one of the good ones.
Exactly. I can spread all the beans about how Twitter, quote, is not here to give people free speech. It's like, not under your regime, it's not.
These people just are so stupid they don't know how to keep secrets.
But they're also cartoonishly evil. They are genuinely cartoonishly evil. And so anyway... the backlash is going to come. You've got I forgot to put another one in, but there was a one on the Wall Street Journal. Don't worry about it though, John. Saying that Musk is going to reinstate Trump. There's a global partnership of advertisers called Group M, which is a lead ad buying agency representing various blue chip brands. And Keely Taylor, this head of this partnership, said, well, we're thinking about pulling out our ads. We're going to do to Twitter what we did to YouTube because we're not happy. We're not happy at all. And so if Trump comes back, they're going to be like, yep, no, pull those adverts. It's like, really? Really? If Trump comes back, that's another 100 million people who are going to be like, oh, president's back. I'm going to go back on the platform. And so you're going to get lots of engagement, lots of eyes on your adverts.
And not even just from right-wingers, from left-wingers too, who are following him just for the sick thrill of it.
Yeah, and because politically they have to. And so it's just like, right, so, I don't know, I'm just saying, you know, you won't sell as many products if you start pulling all of your ads. Anyway, day one again, Elon did the sensible thing and locked all of the Twitter engineers out from changing the code because it probably doesn't come as any surprise that Twitter being a left-wing hive, you'd expect one to jump in and be like, no, I'll do something terrible in order to prevent Elon Musk from taking over. But no, they were locked out of the code, which is good. And so Tesla engineers are in control, which is excellent. And then you had responses. Now, I think it can all be summed up by one Taylor Lorenz, who said this. It's like the gate of hell opened on this site tonight.
I don't know about that, Taylor. Yeah, I mean, all I've noticed is that all of a sudden the algorithm seems to be showing me tweets from the people that I actually follow.
Elon Musk's engineers take over. What is all this?
Yeah, what a shock.
I can fix all this. She, of course, like every other leftist on Twitter, is never going to log off because they're horrifically addicted to the site, right? She says this, I'm getting more rape threats in DMs than normal, this is just an uptick. I get about 5 or 6 a day, but now I'm getting 20. I know. But I can't log off and miss the chaos. It's like, well, then it's not really that big a deal, is it? I mean, let's be honest. I don't believe you. You haven't posted any of them. I think you're a professional victim. But I mean, this isn't about Taylor.
Also, you're what, like 50, Taylor? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No.
But it's, you know, people. But let's assume, let's charitably assume, obviously, don't message Taylor Lorenz.
Of course.
Ever. You know?
Not even to say something nice.
Yeah, no, just don't message her. But anyway, so the question that is unresolved at the end of all of this, where's the big man? Not me, Donald Trump. Where is he? Well, he put out this statement. Congratulations to Elon Musk on his purchase of Twitter. Many people are saying that change was needed as the old management was too concerned with the woke agenda. I have been told that my account will be back up and running on Monday. We will see. Happy to engage with an African-American-owned business. This is what made Twitter great. This is why.
Beautiful.
We need Trump back.
I mean, I think you should double check on Monday as well, actually.
I will.
Yeah.
But come on. That is gold and we need more of it. So yeah, Elon Musk now is in control of Twitter. It looks like it might actually get good. You know, hopefully I'll see you on there.
All right, take a quick sip.
Mm. I can't believe it. This is just, I honestly thought Biden was going to intervene. I mean,
guess we're just lucky that he didn't.
What was Psaki doing?
I know. That's really weird that she was there, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he didn't have time or something like that, but I really thought he was going to because they know the power of Twitter. Sorry, I'll let you...
No, of course. Right, so, if you live in the UK, we've got an exciting opportunity for you. You can rehome a drug dealer today because the government has decided that what they are going to do is offer you money off of your bills, your rent, and other such things if you house an illegal migrant.
Why would I want...
I think it's 5 years worth of rent that they're offering, as well as
all
of your bills paid. But I still wouldn't want some random foreigner living
really
in the spare room.
I don't really want an Albanian.
Mm.
An Albanian people trafficker living in my house.
Operating a brothel from the spare room. No,
selling drugs. Yeah, no, I don't think I will.
I don't want that either, no. On the website, just to let everybody know, we've got some more freemium content that is available for those who want to check it out. I think is this freemium for 1 week or is this?
I believe it's for a week.
Yes.
Callum and I did this yesterday. It's the third book in.
It's the first book. Callum just went about this in a completely strange way.
Yeah.
He started second, third, and then first, and all of the co-hosts are different people.
Yeah. The reason that Frank Dakota is actually such a useful historian when it comes to the subject of the communist takeover of China. Is because he was working at the University of Hong Kong and had access to all of the Chinese Communist Party's official libraries and official records. And so he just went in and did all of this research, got all of this information, put it all together in these books, and then he had to flee Hong Kong, of course, when the Chinese took it over. I assume he's fled anyway. I haven't checked, actually. But the point is, he's done an amazing, amazing amount of work and documentation on what happened when the Chinese communists took over China. And you can watch our other Frank Dakota videos breaking down what happened, you know, with the Great Leap Forward and the Cultural Revolution.
Yeah. I was on the one with the Cultural Revolution. I read the book. It's one of his big strengths is the fact that he's able to just write in a really clear and understandable way. He condenses down lots of big, complex information in a way that's easily readable.
Yeah, and it's just unbelievable how awful things were. Like, it's just the most evil time period I've ever heard about, ever. And I've studied the Mongols. So, you know...
Yeah, so if you're up for some cheery viewing, go check it out on the website and maybe check out some of the other premium content that we've got, if that interests
you
as
Not even joking.
Well.
For a lot of it, Callum was the one who read it, and he's just telling me, God, it's just so...
Oh, see, when Callum and I came out so differently on the Cultural Revolution, Callum and I came out chanting for Mao because everybody was fighting each other, so presumably...
For Mao.
Yeah. Even if they were fighting for Mao, well, we're fighting for Mao more.
Tragic.
It's very strange times. But no, let's get on to the news. So one of the fun things that Callum and I did cover the other day, which you may remember, although this will be going out on YouTube, so you may not have seen that segment if it didn't go out on YouTube, was that asylum seekers have just started randomly breaking into the homes of people around Dover.
I can't believe the illegal immigrants who crossed the channel on boats. Totally unverified or anything like that, have begun committing crimes against the local people in the area they land.
Who'd have thought people whose entire entrance to this country is breaking the law would continue to break the law? This is something I've actually discussed with people who are like refugees welcome types, who I was friends with in the past, who would be like, oh, but they're just normal people. Don't you care about them? Aren't you concerned about their well-being? And I just say to them, right, what's the first thing they do when they get in the country? Just to get in the country? Well, they break the law. Why would I trust them not to just keep doing that?
How do you know they're normal people?
Yeah,
Name the normal person.
Like, many, many assumptions are made. Well, it's because where I'm from, there's like, I don't know, 5 immigrants.
Right. So they've never met any.
And they're all integrated and they've been here for like 10 plus years, or their family's from somewhere else and they're fine, you know. So they just go like, oh, but I know the Indian bloke down the street, he's perfectly fine. It's like, yeah, that's him though.
Yeah, what's the difference between him, a guy who's been here for 30 years, and these Albanian people traffickers? I can't tell.
people are very naive with it. But this one was a particularly interesting story because the woman involved got interviewed by Nigel Farage on GB News as well, and really won Callum and I over because she seemed like a fighter. This guy just came into her kitchen, started demanding to use her phone, started demanding for her to go to Manchester or take him to London or something. And she was just like, no, get out of my kitchen. What are you doing here? And then like her daughter or someone came downstairs and just grabbed the guy. And she was saying like, oh, you know, he was at the top of the stairs. I didn't push him down the stairs. I just gently nudged him.
I bloody would.
I just gently nudged him out of the house. Yeah. And you know what? Good on you. This guy broke into your house. Some random foreigner starts yelling at you. He didn't know how to speak English other than phone and no police. I wonder why that would be a phrase.
Bro, the police would be on your side. Don't you worry about it, honestly.
Well, yeah, that's the problem, is that when the police did get involved, they tried to make it seem like, oh, he was just knocking on the door. He just tried to ask them to use the phone. No.
I've got absolutely no sympathy for anyone who gets beaten up after breaking into someone's house.
I'd say that's an appropriate punishment, if you ask me. I mean, don't break into people's houses. Simple as.
Yeah.
But part of the problem that's going on here is that we are letting lots and lots and lots of people into the country. Lots from undesirable backgrounds who might potentially just be coming over here to get involved in crime because they know that our criminal justice system is a joke and that they will
they
just get away with it.
They are actually criminals already.
Yes. And for one, up to 2% of Albanian male population has travelled to the UK in small boats, according to official statistics. We're not just talking about strict numbers here. We're talking about an active percentage of a population of a country has just decided, I like England. I've decided to become a British citizen.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's the prevailing reason why they want to come over here. They just look over and they see our glorious country and they go, I want a bit of British liberties for myself.
Yeah, it's not the free money we're going to give them.
No, but Dan O'Mahony revealed the staggering figure to MPs on the Home Affairs Committee on Wednesday, stating that 12,000 Albanian nationals had crossed the channel in small boats in this year alone. Fantastic. More than 38,000 people have arrived in the UK after crossing the channel in more than 900 boats in 2022 to date, compared with the 28,526 last year. So that's like a 40% jump.
Are we allowed to start colonising Albania?
Well, I mean,
I bet the weather's nicer.
It probably is quite nice. We've got enough of them over here at this point. Yeah. We can say, oh, it was a democratic decision from your own people. There you go. We wanted to improve conditions.
Just sail across...
Can we make an argument that there's no democracy in Albania?
Just sail across the Adriatic Sea.
John's pointing out there's plenty of available women.
All the men here for some reason. Yep. Yeah.
And there's been a delay in processing migrants when they get over here, because they get off the boat and they just immediately go, I'm claiming asylum. And then they just get sent to a hotel and they process the asylum claims. Yeah. And they take so long to do them that it has knock-on effects in terms of the cost of taxpayers, with £5.6 million being spent every day to house asylum seekers in hotels. But this figure, don't worry, Carl, it gets worse.
Oh, I bet it does.
It always gets worse. Does not include the cost to house relocated Afghans in hotels as well, which cost an additional £1.2 million per day. So about 6.8 million. Let's just round that up to a nice 7 million.
I mean, at least the Afghans have, like, got a story. Like, hey, we were collaborating with you while you guys were occupying Afghanistan. The Taliban have taken over and they're going to kill us. Help us out. Okay, fair enough. Okay, I can accept that as a fairly good moral argument as to why we should probably do something for them. What do we owe the Albanians? Apart from deportation?
Well, Have you not considered the war that's going on over there at the moment? Oh,
no,
wait.
I haven't actually.
No, there isn't one. Yeah, and the figure could rise. MPs on the committee were told they heard that 93% of the 38,000 who arrived in small boats have applied for asylum, down from the total figure of 98% in 2021. But even that extra 5% or so, they're probably still just getting a hotel room paid for them, aren't they?
Well, I mean, there's still the rest of the male population of Albania to come, I suppose, isn't
there? Oh, they're just on the way. It's just a bit of delay.
That's what I imagine, yeah.
Yeah, the only the currently huge delays in processing the applications. They've only processed 4% of the asylum claims. I've got an amazing idea, which is you just don't let them apply in the first place, and you ship
them back.
Send them back. And scroll down just to this image here. Is it just says a group of people thought to be migrants on the boat? So we pick them up on the boat. The border force pick them up on the boat and just bring them into Dover. I've got a great place that you could be sending them if you're picking them up in the channel. No, Albania. Shipping them over to Albania would be far too expensive. Just send them back to France. That's where they're coming from.
Yeah, send them back to France, confiscate the boat.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sell it off.
And officials have also revealed that the interception rate made by French police of migrants attempting to journey across the channel has fallen from 50% to 42%.
What a shock.
But this is not actually because the French are doing any less, by the sounds of it. It's just because the number of migrants trying to cross has increased. They're doing the same that they were last year. But
we gave the French like 50 million to stop this.
Well, I suppose someone had a good time with that 50 million and probably disappeared up someone's nose, appropriately for the Albanians. What else is being done? Earlier this year, Priti Patel announced that Albanian criminals, including drug dealers and immigration offenders, were being deported from the UK, and we deported about 1,000 of them, possibly. Apparently so.
Okay.
But that's still not enough.
No.
Because we've still got far too many. I think I got the... Oh, yeah, there was that one. And if you're interested in why it's kind of worrying that Albanians are coming over and you weren't aware of this, it's because the Albanians basically control the UK drug trade.
Really?
Yeah, by the sounds of it here, in this Guardian article, which is the next one, Kings of Cocaine, How the Albanian Mafia Seized Control of the UK Drugs Trade. And I just got a little snippet from it here. Helbanians, I'll repeat that, Helbanians belong to the...
Is that the name of a mafia gang?
It's a part of a mafia gang.
Right,
yes.
Okay.
And the name alone is enough to deport them, if you ask me. Yep. But they belong to the retail game of the cocaine trade, and they are street dealers and enforcers of the mafia, some Albanian name, the Albanian organised criminal syndicates who the National Crime Agency believe are consolidating power within the UK criminal underworld and on their way to a near-total takeover of the UK's £5 billion cocaine market.
And the government's like, do you want to house these people in your house? We'll pay you. Oh, no.
Yep. I mean, this was 3 years ago as well. So whatever takeover they were enacting at the time is probably completely, is just complete. And they were also thinking as well that the rise in asylum seekers coming from Albania might just be because these criminal gangs are just advertising it to them.
Oh, we know they are.
Yeah. Come over to England. Speculation fell upon dominant organised criminal gangs known to have previously trafficked sex workers and gang members into the UK. This is the kind of cultural enrichment that we've been looking for, and which now control large parts of the marijuana as well as the cocaine markets. It may be down to the criminal gangs. Police say they have a stranglehold over the cocaine market in London and the southeast. And evidence of growing market offering Albanians a route across the channel to the UK can be found on TikTok.
We've covered this previously, where they literally put up TikTok videos saying, £4,000 and we'll get you across the channel 100%.
Yeah.
And it's like, and we'll just take you in because we're idiots, apparently. Like, these people can't legally get into this country, probably because they're known drug traffickers. And we're saying, but if they illegally come here, then they're refugees, aren't they? No. Anyway, what do I know?
Well, these people are just desperate. They need money. Just ignore it. Don't think about it. Don't recognize patterns.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and people have been pointing out for a long time just the terrible behaviour that goes on at the hotels where the migrants are housed. Like, recently... residents at a Holiday Inn in Rotherham, poor guys, residents right next to it have been hitting out antisocial behaviour at the Holiday Inn housing 130 asylum seekers, including late night music and raucous football tournaments.
I can't believe they're behaving badly.
I know. They've complained about the noise. They say the men housed at the hotel play really loud music all night long. The MP for Rotherham, a Labour MP, John Healy, said that the hotel is unsuited as accommodation for 130 refugees because the area is far from the town centre and lacks NHS capacity. That's right.
Oh,
the migrants don't get the opportunity to just wander around the town centre.
And they've got lack of access to the NHS.
I don't care.
Oh, well done, John
Healy. That's not the problem, yeah. Mr. Healy. I'm sorry. You know, we go walking around Swindon. It's just, you know, you see these asylum seekers wandering about doing sweet FA.
Wearing the latest fashions, though.
Ah, I know. Very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, they're always wearing... you can see them. Like, they just hang around the town square, town centre, wearing just brand new fashion clothes. It's mad.
Glaring at locals as they walk by.
I'm paying for this.
Not intimidating at all. Mr. Healy also said that using the hotels was the result of a failing and unfair asylum system. Well, it certainly is failing, and it certainly is unfair, but not for the people I expect Mr. Healy is referring to.
No.
Joe Theaker, who lives nearby, called for a curfew as his children can't sleep. We can't get the kids to sleep. It's been going on 12 months. The problems are just getting worse and worse. The noise goes from 9 p.m. to the early hours. Most of the houses on the street have young families, so we're all in the same boat. It needs some kind of curfew. People have complained to the hotel. Nothing's been done.
I'm laughing because all I was saying, Mr. Theaker was saying, look, these migrants can't get to the NHS. They've got no access to the town centre. Something needs to be done.
And they're wearing last season's Nikes. It's horrendous.
Do you not feel represented by Labour yet, Mr. Theaker? Just asking, you know. Your values, your interests, completely aligned with the Labour politician who represents you.
Let's be honest, he lives in Rotherham. He probably did vote for it.
Yeah, he probably did.
You know, so you get what you deserve, sadly. Mm. They're all young blokes in their early to mid-20s, and sometimes they're 20 to 30 around the car park.
Adventurers.
No young women. No young children.
Refugees.
What a big shock. And what has the government solution been to this? Well, as I alluded to at the beginning, it is, why don't you take in the migrants yourself? We'll give you money for it. Please, we desperately need you to do this. As homeowners are being offered contracts to take in illegal channel migrants, as government hotel bill rises to £2.4 billion a year.
I can't even imagine what kind of idiot they think the average member of the public is.
Do
you want to take this criminal 25-year-old into your home?
I just don't understand if the whole point is, okay, we also want to, you know, try and dissuade people from crossing the channel.
Yeah.
Well, now instead of a nice, comfy hotel room, you get to live with lovely Ethel and she gets to make tea for you every morning.
But what if you're like, you know, 35, your wife's the same sort of age and you've got a bunch of young kids? I don't want some 25-year-old Albanian man living with them.
Well...
I also
don't want some Albanian guy teaching my kids how to be drug runners.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, because it seems that that might be the most likely thing that they'd be doing. So the private...
all manner of dangers to young people. Well, why would you...
It's a private contractor, Serco, offering deals for up to 5 years with rent guaranteed in full every month and maintenance costs covered. So... you know, in a cost of living crisis, this could look quite attractive to a lot of people.
What I'm saying is it's 10 grand a month rent.
Yeah. But as well at the same time, whether or not that's quite attractive, you still have to have some random foreigner in your spare room. I don't know if it's worth it. It will also pay the tenants council tax plus gas and electricity bills. So you're just bribing people.
With whose money?
Well, that's the thing. Serco were awarded a record £1.9 billion 10-year contract from the Home Office in 2019. Which I'm sure is money that we can afford to be spending.
No. Okay. Look, I've got an offer for the Home Office, right? Give me a $1 billion 10-year contract, and I will make sure every single one of these people is removed from this country.
Tempting offer.
I can make this happen.
I have met someone from the Home Office before, and he looked suspiciously like Hitler, so he might be open to the idea.
What?
He had a toothbrush tash, and I thought, oh my God, that's not in style anymore. It's not been style for a while.
It's a weird thing for him to have.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Maybe he was...
just a really big Charlie Chaplin fan, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Look at my collection of hats. But yeah, and I saw Nigel Farage was talking about this on GB News last night as well, and he had that... I was talking to Connor about it. He had that Reem Ibrahim woman, the one who was going on Twitter saying about how Liz Truss is the best prime minister I've had already because she wants to open up migration so we can boost the economy. And she was talking to Nigel. Nigel gave her the whole, you know, the whole shebang. Oh, this is terrible. They're coming in, stealing jobs from our people. And she goes, oh my God, Nigel, you're so right. It's a complete waste of taxpayers' money. It's ruining the hotels. It's ruining the airports they stay at. What we need to do is give them all jobs while they're looking for asylum. No!
I just...
Are you high, Reem? I know you consider yourself a libertarian, but
well,
you
there
don't,
we go. There's the
you
problem.
Don't,
exactly
you don't right. have to go on air stoned out your brain to say something like that. I mean, good God.
The problem is libertarianism. Sorry, libertarians, this is true.
It is. As I've mentioned before, I've already got 50 pages of notes on it at this point. But that's that. So you too could house an immigrant today if you're feeling up for it, but please don't. Just please don't. And let's move on to the last segment of the day, which is looking at the Daryl Brooks trial, which was a complete circus, an absolute farce. Before I get any further into it, I'll advertise this. We've got a premium article that's been republished at the end of last month by Dr. Michael Rechtenwald called The Reemergence of Leftist Totalitarianism. Excellent article talking about groups like Antifa and the sorts of people that I'm sure Daryl Brooks himself would probably identify with, being that he's an insane, murderous leftist. And I'm allowed to call him a murderer because he's been convicted now.
I haven't actually been following the trial. So this has all been
well, some
me.
Of the clips I'm going to play should be quite interesting for you then. But you can check that out. It's got an audio track for the Silver members. Rechtenwald has done some good work for us before, so that should be very interesting. So for those of you who don't remember who Daryl Brooks was, last year at the end of, I think it was November, he was in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and and he was driving a truck of peace, as it was deemed at the time, which plowed through a crowd of people and sadly killed, I think, 6 people, including an 8-year-old boy. So a truly awful piece of redacted who should not have been allowed to walk free. And thankfully now is going to be spending the rest of his life in prison because he was his trial has been is ended, and it ended in a guilty verdict.
Good.
Thank God.
But do you remember
God.
How quickly this disappeared from the media as soon as they found out he was black?
Well, I did notice that there hasn't been anywhere near the kind of coverage of this trial that you would expect. I mean, the Kyle Rittenhouse trial last year got a lot of coverage because a lot of leftists were banking on him going to prison.
He's a white supremacist. He's a murderer. He's a Nazi. Actually, he's none of those things and did nothing wrong.
The only leftists I saw really paying attention to this particular trial were a bunch of Reddit pages called things like r/justiceforDaryl, saying that what he needed was was a not guilty verdict because it was simply society victimizing a poor, mentally ill black man. Yeah. So, of course, exactly as you'd expect. I'll go over some of the details from this article. So, he killed 6 people, injured dozens of others when he plowed an SUV into a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, last November. He's been found guilty on 6 counts of intentional homicide this Wednesday just passed. The jury began deliberations on Tuesday and reached a verdict by Wednesday morning. So, pretty quick deliberation right there. Brooks, who's 40, now faces a mandatory sentence of life in prison. Good.
Yeah.
And good. Given that he's also...
Honestly, it's not strong enough for me.
No. Well, no. Put it like this. He's on the sex offenders registry for interfering with a minor, shall we say. So when his cellmates get word of that, perhaps the punishment will be fitting for him.
Yeah.
The verdict comes less than a year after the slaughter where Brooks killed an 8-year-old boy and several members of a dancing grannies group on November 21st, which is just... absolutely horrible, the innocent life. And that is one thing, which is that this trial, as amusing as parts of it are, just because of how plainly insane Brooks is, we need to remember that this is because he murdered some innocent people, including a child and some, I assume, lovely old people as well. So it's just an awful thing, and we need to keep that in mind as well. But in prosecutors' final arguments, District Attorney Susan Opper focused on Brooks's failure to slow down after he ran over his first victim as proof that he intended to kill. She said not one person had to be hurt that day if he'd just stopped driving. He plowed through 68 different people. 68. How can you hit one and keep going? How do you hit two? It didn't faze him at all. Obviously, it's a lie to say that it was unintentional. The trial, which began on October 3rd, became very bizarre just days before it began. And this is where the crazy starts to come in. And it becomes clear that if Daryl Brooks was trying to present himself as a man who wouldn't be crazy enough to do this, he did a very poor job because he dismissed his public defenders and elected to represent himself. Just exactly as you would do, and I will say, he was slightly less charming than Ted Bundy was when he did it back in the 80s. At times, Brooks had to be removed from the courtroom due to his behaviour altogether and escorted to a separate room equipped with a video stream. So that'll give some context to some of the following clips. And some people think that the behaviour that he was engaging in was because he was after a mistrial. And I think you'll see from the footage, he does not seem like a person smart enough to try and go for that kind of tactic, unless the public defenders tried to coach him, in which case they did a terrible job. Just 2 weeks before the attack, this is important to note as well, Brooks had been released from jail on a $1,000 bail after he'd allegedly run over a woman.
Right. So this is not the first time he's done this.
No, this was not the first time he'd done this. This is not the only record that he had. As I said, he's on the sex offenders registry for sleeping with a girl who was under the age of 18 and getting her pregnant. He was, as we'll also mention, part of a black nationalist group and posted some very controversial takes onto his Facebook. I think you covered this all last year, but
I can't remember offhand.
Yeah, it'll be a good reminder to go through it. And one of the most important things was that the media tried to run cover for this guy at the time. For instance, CNN wanted you to forget that he was black by intentionally whitening him up in the images. Now, there was different versions of this photo on the right where he just looked like he does normally. This one, he seems to have, I don't know, it had some kind of deficiency, because he's looking a bit pale right there.
I mean, they
there.
Literally white-faced him.
Yeah, they did white-face him. It's
CNN's
absolutely disgusting.
Like, oh, no, this guy's white. Trust us, bro.
Yep. And here's another reminder of them trying to
change anything.
No, it doesn't, but it's to try and get people to...
What? Hate white people?
I don't know. I guess I'm just not evil enough to understand the logic behind it, other than to go, don't worry, guys, it wasn't a black guy. Black people are innocent little angels who don't do nothing wrong ever. It's actually a black, a white guy with these incredible dreadlocks. And to be fair, white guys with dreadlocks can be pretty evil.
Sure, but why racialize this at all? It's like this named individual murdered a bunch of people, so this guy is a bad guy.
We can't be going advertising black people committing crimes.
That's
if we
exactly
did that,
what they
we'd
think.
Be doing it far too often, is what CNN were probably thinking. But this one was just unavoidable, so they wanted to mitigate it a little bit. They also tried to, in the next tweet over, Jack Posobiec remembers, that first the entire media lied about him.
They did.
Said that he was speeding from a police chase, as if that makes him seem any more innocent somehow. Don't worry, he wasn't a black guy who did it for no reason. He'd already committed a crime.
He was running away from the cops.
Yeah, there you go. But they were trying to say that he accidentally hit the parade. They never had any evidence for it. And during the trial, he never once brought up this line of defence. So it was literally a media concoction. It wasn't even anything that he or a PR team had contrived.
They're such insane racists. They're like, right, black guys killed a bunch of people. Right, okay, we need a cover story. It's like, no, you don't.
Yeah. How do we make this white people's fault?
Yeah, you don't need a cover story. Oh, it's the police. The police made him do it. What? Why? No.
It's ridiculous. As I mentioned, he was also a member of a black supremacist group. His Facebook and social media was littered with anti-white and anti-Jewish posts that encouraged the killing of white people and posts that celebrated Hitler for being right about the real Jews. I don't know what the real Jews means.
I know, I do. I follow a bunch of these groups on Facebook just because they're genuinely hilarious, and you want to keep track of the crazy that's...
Do you follow 5% Nation? Because that's the one that he's part of.
Not those, as far as I'm aware, but I've seen a quote being shared on black nationalist Facebook groups that's from Hitler in defense of black people against the Jews, saying I'm something along the lines of, I'm killing the Jews because they're oppressing the blacks, who are the real Jews who I like.
Okay, I feel like someone needs to get a source for that quote.
No, there is no source for it.
Of course. But members, because actually, if you scroll down, I'm pretty sure he actually shared that himself, and you can see in one of the images, if you keep going down, there it is.
Yeah,
is that one the one that you're
that's
about?
That's exactly the one, yeah. Hitler knew who the real Jews were. So
Adolf Love Me Blacks Hitler.
No, there's a great quote in here, actually. Hitler said in his death he would start World War III. One of his soldiers asked how. He replied, "The day mankind finds out what I was trying to defend this nation, Germany, from, then that's when World War III will start. For on that day, mankind will learn that I was trying to save my nation from the Freemasons, the Illuminati, the Jews. for the Americans win the war. If they win the war, they will conquer the world and forever be a slave to Jews. And we'll try to conquer God. It goes on.
Wait, I think the Jews of God, his jewelry.
Yeah, there we go. America has stolen the Jews of God, his jewelry, the Negroes. So they are the true Hebrews.
Black Hebrew Israelite.
Hitler
type
was a black
points.
Hebrew Israelite.
Yeah, so...
These false white Jews now have the state of Israel.
I mean, you know, if you just want to...
it's just nonsense.
If you just want to say it, but this guy, Daryl Brooks, shared this in 2015, just being like, real game right here. Yeah, this is my... Hitler was my guy.
Kanye's saying basically the same thing.
That's also
This
true.
Appears to be like an actual, like, meme that's in the black community in America, that they are the real Jews.
Yeah.
And Hitler was on their side.
I mean, meme in the sense...
meme as in it's an idea that's being transmitted around.
Not just a joke. They actually believe
this. They genuinely think it.
I mean, that's the funny thing I found about Kanye. He's saying this sort of stuff, and he obviously believes this sort of stuff. But at the same time, what he's saying from that Drink Champs video was that he was like, oh, you know, we've been betrayed by the other Jews, but we need to get back together and become one big tribe again. Whereas these guys are just like, let's just kill him.
No, apparently. Yeah, they like Hitler. So
just kill him. Amusingly, they call themselves Allah's Five Percenters. I don't know what that means.
Very confused theology going on here.
Yeah, and they teach the black people are the original inhabitants of planet Earth, including the original Jews, and that white man is literally an evil devil. So, the white devil. He believes
Hitler
in the white devil.
White guy. What?
Well, maybe Hitler was just like the reverse Trudeau.
I don't know.
Maybe that's what they're suggesting here.
Anyway, let's move on.
Like I said, though, he did kill six people, and just to keep it in mind, there's posts here just saying about who it was he killed. No, go to the next link, John. These are the people. These are his victims. So we need to keep these people in mind that innocent people die because of him. Yeah. Because the next bits are, I'm not going to lie, be quite funny. Because it's time to look at some of the clips from the trial, because this was the big reason it got a lot of attraction from people on social media, because it was just a complete S show. A complete S show, because this obvious mentally ill maniac who deserves everything he's going to get, choosing to represent himself in a trial was not a good idea. Let's play this one where some guy, where the prosecution mentions that, this guy is on the sex offenders registry after all. And Daryl doesn't take that nicely.
Live with the child in question. He doesn't live with any of the other children that he has. He impregnated Erica Patterson when she was a minor in Nevada. And for doing so, he was convicted of statutory sexual seduction, pled guilty in March of 2007 to that felony offense, and is a sex offender on the registry as a result. So if there's any causation that would lead to Erica Patterson being a bad mom, Mr. Brooks had the direct role in that causation.
And that's
furthermore
today.
I'm not,
because that's a lie.
Let him
at
finish.
The end of the day,
let him finish.
We're gonna open the door on that. No, since he wanna make a record and not be accurate, so let's be accurate all on the record. Since you think you know so much,
once
so
again,
we can
Mr.
open
Brooks
the door on. We can
loud,
open the door on how old you told me she was.
Interrupting.
We can add that question.
He is
to me.
Over the top animated. Mr. Brooks, I'm ordering you to sit down and to let this
no,
be
no, I'm not gonna sit here and let somebody be inaccurate on the record.
Right. Under Illinois versus Allen, I've warned him repeatedly. He's being removed from the courtroom. And you know what? Let me dial that back. We're just going to take an early lunch. 1 hour. We'll be back. And let me bring that letter.
So his first thought is just to go like to throw out the actually, she told me she was 18. I mean, you know. If you want to go for it, he had so many bad moments throughout the entire trial that people have done mashups of it.
Right.
And here's what part of one of the mashups.
Attacking the integrity of this court,
court
refusing
no
to answer
court don't
simple
have no
questions.
Integrity.
Mr. Brooks.
You're a mass murderer.
You
That's
are
not my name. I told you I don't consent to being called that name. How can I forfeit not being able to have a defense? Are you kidding me?
Self a judge as much as bias you could put up in here. Don't even tell the jury the truth. You got no integrity whatsoever.
What you trying to say?
So, when we, I may take an early lunch, and if that's in your cell, then you can go get it and bring it. But without that letter, I'm not allowing this line of questioning.
Prove it.
All the cases that we've already referenced, sir, we are in recess. We'll be back
and
in
prove
5 minutes.
It.
Thank you, everybody.
How many times I got to say the same thing on record? So why am I going to have my headphones on and I'm muted?
Well, I would think your headphones help you hear. The
they
muting
do.
Is so that I don't.
Then why should I need to hear
so
what you
let
say?
Me be clear, sir. and you are not.
You ain't gotta be clear or nothing. I don't gotta listen to you. Keep doing this little childish stuff, dude.
Do things without my knowledge. And pass it off to the jury like that's fair.
Reason, I don't consent to being called that
name. I don't consent to being called that name. You hold me in contempt? Move me then, because what you're doing is not fair. I'm not trying to delay the proceeding, so I wish you would stop being incorrect on the record and saying what I'm trying to do if you don't know that. You don't know what I'm trying to do. I'm not arguing with you either. I'm stating facts.
You're raising your voice. It's
because I'm tired of you always making a record. You're making a record of incorrect statements. That's what you're doing.
Hanging's too good.
It is. He's acting like some kind of petulant child. There are people pointing out that this is obviously the first time he's ever really got in trouble for anything. Yeah. And when, you know, 2 weeks before he committed the actual thing that he's, you know, gone to trial for, the fact that he was able to run somebody over and then just immediately get out of prison on $1,000 bail was ridiculous. Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously a totally remorseless psychopath.
No, and one of the more bizarre things that he did at one point was during the trial, he just decided to hide while he was sat at his desk by building himself a little box fort. Like, just play the clip. It's bizarre to watch something like this.
No, I don't want to do that.
Oh, you don't?
I changed. Come on.
Like, what are you doing?
76. The 76 count. Just want to make
this was the man that people were trying to get you to sympathize with.
Yeah.
He was just running away from the police, bro.
All right. So, state have any requests as it relates to the jury instruction?
Annoyingly, she doesn't seem to have any real authority here. It's really insufferable.
Well, he keeps getting into arguments with her, so I think at one point she just got tired of the whole thing.
Fair enough. There's 107 pages. I certainly.
And I couldn't imagine.
Doesn't she have some sort of bailiff? My bailiff take him out until he's going to be quiet.
Well, that's what they did. They took him through to different rooms so that when he was on with the headphones and the mask on, he was in a different room because they just didn't have him. Look, he's just hiding from them.
That's right, okay, take him out to the hallway and just sit him out there until he's prepared to actually do this, or else we'll try him in absentia, I don't know.
I mean, the worst bit of behaviour from him, actually, is this next clip, where he slams his fist and just starts staring down the judge. Very bizarre.
He has 7 prior criminal convictions, via OWI 2nd from 1997, and OWI 3rd from 1997, and OWI 4th from 2003... criminal trespass to dwelling from 2006.
Right, I need to take a break. This man right now is having a stare down with me. It's very disrespectful. He pounded his fist. Frankly, it makes me scared.
It makes you scared?
We're taking a break.
Get some of the guards to, I don't know, rough him up.
I mean, they've got the sheriffs right behind him and everything, so I'm sure she's perfectly safe. But the guy just starts staring her down, like just trying to mad dog her.
Get him taken out.
Yeah, there you go.
Back to your cell. We'll carry on tomorrow.
But then he got convicted, and this was the little speech that he gave, where he shows, for once and for all, that he has just no remorse whatsoever, and it, like, you have to hear it to believe it.
For whatever mistakes that I myself have made in my life, I made peace with God. Made peace. I'm happy to say that my conscience is clear. And because I believe, I trust him with my life. Nobody will never know why it was his will for this to happen.
Well, yeah, that's right. It was God's will. I had nothing to do with it. I just happened to be behind the wheel at the time, but it was God's will. And he has no remorse whatsoever. These are the people that BLM and other organizations want you to empathize with. These are the people they want you to think are innocent little angels. If it weren't for society, they'd just be going and, I don't know, curing cancer or something like that.
I mean, the fact the media was reflexively in defense of this guy is just disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a tiny little short clip, last one, which I think sums it all up, which is some hero after the conviction decided to shout out something that we're all thinking.
Answer, yes.
We're in hell, you piece of shit.
Hey, you are to be removed right now. You will not do that.
Yep, some guy just shouted, burn in hell, you piece of ass. And that's all. He's been convicted. He's going to prison for the rest of his life, which will not be a very pleasant time. And yeah, burn in hell, you piece of ass.
Let's go to video comments.
Regarding my last post, I meant to say conservatism rather than classical liberalism. My bad. Speaking of conservatism, let's talk about Thatcher and Blair. So I'm originally from Yorkshire, and my family and I left England for Australia in the 90s, partly due to Thatcherism, which persisted even into the Blair years. What I find somewhat ironic is that late last year I joined a political party that has members who support Thatcher's ideas and policies, even adding some of those ideas into their own party.
Well, the problem with Thatcher is not necessarily what she was trying to do. It was the way she did it, in my opinion. And it's the same with the Irish potato famine, actually. The liberals, the free market extremists, just went, oh, yeah, okay, we're not going to do anything. The free market will take care of it. It's okay, but there are things we could have done to mitigate the pain of implementing free market reforms.
I think going autistically all in on these things does really hurt people. If you don't do it degree by degree and just do it all at once. And I've actually been reading, I was reading a bit of it for a contemplations that Josh and I did a few weeks ago on free trade and protectionism, a book by a guy called Frederick List called The National System of Political Economy, where he just explains using historical examples, free trade works if you're already the dominant producer in a particular industry. You can use free trade as a method to dominate other countries if you are already producing everything and you basically force them to become completely dependent on you. He's using it as an argument for why you need to have some kind of manufacturing and agricultural independence, because otherwise, especially if a war breaks out or something, you're screwed. What are you going to do? All of a sudden, you've not been producing your food because you've been importing it. War breaks out, you're going to starve.
Let's go to the next one.
Seriously, guys, black pill, black pill, black pill. You're not doing yourselves any good. So, I'm issuing a challenge. I want you guys to dedicate one segment a week, just one, talking about what's going right in the world. And it doesn't have to be Elon Musk buying Twitter level kinds of stuff. Small things, nice things that are happening in the world.
Well, we did two today. A murderer got sent to jail, and Elon Musk bought Twitter. So there we go. That's two weeks.
Listen, unless it's big in the news, unless it's big sensationalism, people don't click. That's the problem.
But it's also like it's got to be something worth talking about, right? And like, you know, not that many good things have been happening.
It's just the times that we live in. Yeah. Listen, if you've got nice stories, send them across. If I don't know, kitten got stuck in a tree, the community came together to get it out of there. You know, I'd love to hear it, especially if this video.
We'll try and do at least one good pill segment a week.
I try and do a white pill segment every so often for my own benefit, really.
Do you know what's killing Western democracy, George? Greed and constipation.
It's one thing to recognise that modern dramas and performances are rubbish, it's another thing to know why and to contrast them with what's actually good. To that end, I'd recommend John le Carré's Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, particularly the TV series with an all-star cast of the day. I'm working my way through the audiobook of le Carré's The Little Drummer Girl, and his writing is layered and complex. The TV series develops characters in a much more engaging way.
I'll need to check that out. I did watch the film from about 10 years ago that had Gary Oldman, Colin Firth, and people like that in it. But I watched it ages ago, and I found it really boring at the time.
I've never seen it.
So perhaps I assume that was a BBC series. Perhaps that'll do better for me.
Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Lotus Eaters from King Spectre of Pittsburgh comes the story of Charlie No Face. In the South Park area of Pittsburgh, a boy by the name of Raymond Robinson on June 11th, 1985, climbed up into the power lines and was electrocuted and died. It melted his face, and so now his spirit wanders the area with no face, looking for someone to talk to.
Well, that's horrible. Harrowing.
Well, thanks for the story anyway. Yeah. Oh, cheers.
Yeah, normally they're not quite that bad. Anyway, Kevin says, did Elon Musk just buy Twitter to make a $43 billion dad joke? not just, but if you're spending $43 billion buying Twitter, you may as well make a dad joke along the way.
I mean, he's got enough kids. Yeah, exactly. He's probably got plenty of dad jokes up his sleeves.
Why pass up the opportunity? That's what he's thinking, I'm sure of it. George says, I don't particularly trust Musk, considering his dystopian App X plans, but boy, is the meltdown glorious to witness. Yes. Sophie says, let's not forget Elon's tweet to the CEO. So what have you done last week? Yeah, I covered it. Baron von Warhawk says, one of the things I noticed that being banned from Twitter was probably one of the best things that happened to Trump's re-election campaign. This is because the mainstream media has nothing to distract the normies from Joe Biden's failures. That's a great point.
That is a good point, because they could always cover it up by going, well, didn't
Trump,
you know...
Trump.
Trump tweeted something in all caps that we think is mean.
Yeah. No, that's a really great point. You know, there are no mean tweets to distract people with. You know, S.H. Silver says, now we wait for Elon to stick to his word. I suspect he'll only be a mild reformer, but even mild reform, like reversing lifetime bans, would be huge for the flow of discourse. It won't be enough to have just Trump back, but outspoken cultural critics like Carl Molyneux and Alex Jones too. Yeah, I know. I really want to see
Alex Jones back on there as well.
Yeah, I'd love to see all of them back. Based Ape says, just applied for an engineering position in Twitter's child safety team to go work for Daddy Elon and help clean this mess up. I'll let you know if I end up with any... I'll let you know if you end up with a roving reporter on the inside soon. Dude, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that would be awesome. Al says, Twitter employee letter. I bet they had 5 meetings about this. P.S. Twitter employee. Did you enjoy coffee while looking at the employees whose jobs you plan to take? Elon, as big of a smile as you had when the sitting president of the United States got banned. Yeah, that's the thing. All of these people, like, totally compliant, totally on board with it. Like, I have no sympathy for them at all.
No, they're evil. They're happy to ruin other people's lives. But if you inconvenience them in the slightest manner.
And they're convinced they're doing the right thing. It's like, really? You think oppressing people is the right thing to do? Okay. Dane Scotty says, we won't be intimidated. I mean, you've demonstrated how intimidated you are by releasing a hand-wringing, sweat-drenched letter of alarmism to the public over a corporate purchase. You've shown you're intimidated by screeching an alarm when the new boss says, I'm going to get rid of useless people. You've shown you're intimidated by playing your hand before anything's happened. Yeah, they really covered themselves in glory there, didn't they? Wuhan Wet Market says, Carl will finally be able to say he wouldn't even do things on Twitter again. on a more serious... I didn't get banned for that, by the way. On a more... Because that's not a crime.
Wasn't it for sharing certain inappropriate materials?
No, it was for calling Nazis gamer words.
Oh, and dear.
Vijaya Gad was like, you can't insult Nazis like that.
They're our guys.
Like, sorry. it hasn't felt... the right has had a solid win on the internet for a long time. It's almost an alien feeling to many of us, myself included. Let's savor this one. Yeah. Lord Nerevar says, I love all of it. I had a bit of insomnia last night, so I was awake at the moment the news dropped. The amount of coping and seething is delicious. I haven't got anything particularly brainy to say about it. Just gloating for me on this one. Yeah, I swear to God, I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning like I'd felt...
Just so excited.
No. I just woke up like I'd felt a disturbance in the force. And I was trying to get back to sleep, but I was like, why can't I sleep?
Like roughly 5,000 Twitter employees all screamed out at once.
And I literally opened my phone and saw the meltdown on Twitter. I was like, oh my God. You know, did that actually psychically wake me up? How did I know?
You felt it.
Then I got some painting done. I felt better about it.
Yeah, that's all right.
Thomas says, the Twitter deal feels like part of the part of The Godfather Part 2, where he's watching Cuban revolutionary suicide bombing police in Cuba while his business contact is telling him it's fine.
I've not watched The Godfather Part 2 in ages. Need to rewatch that.
Kevin says, Twitter doesn't need an AI system to sort out what material on Twitter people interact with. What it needs is intelligence by 90% of its user base who seem incapable of scrolling past the stuff they don't agree with, which means it needs an AI that can do that for them, because you aren't going to get the intelligence, are you? Connor says, prediction, once the bots are purged from Twitter and everything on Twitter is natural and organic again, once the left wing no longer wields the blade of repressive tolerance, they will be accusing Elon Musk of wielding the blade against them on behalf of the right, because the right wingers will grow more popular by far and they cannot imagine a world in which they aren't the good guys. They have lied to themselves to that extent that that is what's going to happen. Krasimir says, why are all these Twitter employees dressed in black like they're at a funeral? It is a funeral. The funeral of their careers. The funeral of their hegemony over the public space. This is a funeral to them.
And good riddance.
Yeah, but I just... it's amazing they could think they would have goodwill from the public, right? Like, it's a tiny number of people on Twitter, and then tens of thousands of people who have been censored, and then all of the people they've complained to about it. You know, why would you think you're going to get any kind of, like, sympathy from people? You'd be like, no, good, go.
I mean, at the end of the day, even the people who like Twitter kind of hate Twitter. Mm. So you've got no allies on your side.
Yeah. Radnar says, there's no longer a fix for immigration in England, sadly. We could stop all immigration tomorrow, and irreparable damage would have already been done to the culture in the country for the next few generations. And all evidence suggests we are ramping it up anyway, so our proverbial goose is cooked. Yeah. And, I mean, so there is actually a lot of remigration. So it is, if we could get them to say, right, no more immigration, 400,000 foreigners a year would leave, which is a lot. So that would be a good start. You know, give it a couple of years, and I think the impact of that would be noticeable, but the government just won't do it, so we're screwed.
No, they've not got the political will to do it.
Yeah. Sophie says, this segment goes really well with the segment the other day where an illegal migrant broke into a woman's home and demanded her phone.
Yep. I mean, I mentioned it at the beginning, yeah. You know, and the government were like, you know what, let's expand on that idea.
Rather than breaking in, why don't you take them in?
Yeah, why don't you just invite them in? They're like vampires.
Binary says, stopping immigration is unfortunately not only cope, but wouldn't fix the issue in the slightest now. It would take a decade of forced repatriations and zero migration to begin to undo the damage inflicted. The conversation needs to be moved to forced repatriations and zero migration, full stop. Zero migration, I think, is a lot more plausible to advance as an argument in polite conversation.
I would love to see deportations personally, but then depending on where it is that you're deporting them from, You'd get situations like up in Scotland where that one family was about to get deported and the entire neighbourhood came out and the police just went, oh, all right, you can have them back then.
Oh, is that the Sikhs?
Yeah.
And they were like, you can't deport them on Eid, and so Eid's a Muslim holiday. And the Sikhs were just like, nobody tell them. Yeah, exactly. It was embarrassing for the Scots, to be honest. But I don't be too blackpilled on that binary. 400,000 a year is very significant, and I do think that it would start to have an effect. And the thing is, it might even ramp up, because if the government comes out and says, right, no more immigration, that's kind of a warning shot, right?
Yeah, I think you would also need to pair it up with some massive restrictions on the benefit system.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Who can claim on it.
And exactly. You know, massive benefit system claims.
So apparently Rishi Sunak is 15 minutes ago seeking a channel migrant deal in a call with Macron.
And how much money are we going to give Macron this time? Give him £50 million.
So that he can just do the exact same amount that he did last year as more people come over.
But obviously every single one of these people deported, zero immigration. Any foreign criminal, like anyone who commits a crime who's a foreigner, bomb gone. You know, that...
That one's just easy. I don't get why we don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So there are ways, you know, that we could improve this. Just for some reason, the government has no intention of doing it. X, Y, and Z says, and don't forget your new cough teen cough border, bringing home some random minor to practice his English skills with. Yeah, well, I just can't get over it, man.
I mean, I suppose that would be a hell of a way of forcefully red-pilling normies. If they invite the migrants in and all of a sudden they've got a rape going on in their spare room.
Well, I mean, it's going to be that, drugs as well and just all sorts of terrible things. I mean, they must know how dangerous that is, right? Like, there's going to, even if it's not physical violence, there's going to be other things that happen.
I mean, it's the same thing you see. I've seen so many compilations of people going around the refugees welcome crowd and going and pretending to be a reporter.
How many do you intend to take?
Yeah, oh, great, we've got a program going on. How many of you, do you want? And they just go, oh, I've got no room in my house.
So. Yeah, oh, not for me. Yeah. Anyway, Nicholas says, so about this hosting migrant thing. My missus is from the Philippines. She has followed all the rules and is working hard in applying for British citizenship. She is taking her Life in the UK exam next month. Would she be entitled to claim, or does she not meet the right criteria? I mean, she's a nurse who hasn't mugged any biddies in her own home, I think. And that's the thing. Like, those people are going to, like, you know, if someone comes here and then intermarries like an English person, okay, fine. You know, that's joining the culture. You know, that's the...
Well, yeah, that was one of the other things that Nigel pointed out when he was speaking to that Reem woman, which was he went, like, your family are immigrants. They went through a very hard process to get here legitimately and then work their way up and get employment and stuff. Is that not just an insult to your family? And she, no response. She had no answer to that.
Ross says, bloody foreigners come out of here stealing our drug trade.
Yeah. At the very least, we need a national drug trade.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what Jeremy Corbyn said.
Well, once again, I would rather our drug dealers be natives.
I guess.
If there has to be drug dealers.
John's got another one. Ukrainian refugee reported mother who took her to the police for making her do the dishes before detectives opened a modern slavery investigation and grilled her for hours.
What on earth?
Hannah warned Brits to think twice before opening up homes. Yeah, no kidding. No bloody kidding.
Wait, so, sorry, love, could you do the disses? I'm basically a slave now.
Quick, to the police.
FBI, open up.
Yeah, the police are like, oh, you're running a slave shop here. But calm down. I live in Sussex, not Leicester. Jesus.
Can you not waste our time, please? Yeah. We had some tweets to police.
Free Will points out, if they run out of space and no one accepts their cash offers, how's migrants? How long before they try and force people to accept guests?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. And Free Will again says, just shows the paucity of will in the government to deal with the illegal migrant problem. They just want to palm it off into the public with a cash incentive, which is your own cash. As if further proof was needed, the UK government has no intention of fixing this problem. They are fully on board with the gradual dissolution of the UK and its sublimation into some kind of world government. Yep, that seems to be the case. It's hard to argue with that. Kelb says, I'm American. If you break into someone's house here, you're one of the lucky ones if it's not Smith & Wesson showing you the door or even the pearly gates. I'm 1,000% happy with that being the case too. Yeah, me too, man. Like, if someone breaks into your house, then basically, you know, what you're saying is, I'm someone who doesn't obey laws.
Well, yeah.
I'm very much with John Locke on this position.
Yeah.
It's acceptable to kill them because, okay, this is self-defense now.
If you're not going to abide by the rules of society, then yeah. I don't have to when I'm dealing with you.
Locke had a good point. So, well, how do I know what his intent is?
I mean, that's always the question. Like, there was the kid in Ireland who somebody broke into his home recently, and he killed them, and he's got 3.5 years for it.
Yeah, it's mental.
It's like, oh, you shouldn't have grabbed a knife and stabbed him once, and then he just dies.
He was beating him as well.
Yeah.
He was attacking him in his home, and he grabbed a knife and stabbed him. They're like, oh, you're going to jail.
Oh, you're supposed to just intuit the same way that Kyle Rittenhouse is supposed to intuit that if the guy got hold of his gun, he just wouldn't shoot him. The guy was going to stop beating you at some point.
Sorry, I got no sympathy whatsoever. If you break in someone's house and you attack them...
At the very least, it sounds like Dover, from that article I looked at, has a healthy supply of stern English women to kick migrants out. Yeah.
Thomas says, regarding Daryl Brooks, this is where you, Harry, and I depart. The concept that sexual assault in prison is punishment is deeply immoral, and we should be all outraged at the injustice. Frankly, the injustice, for me, in my opinion, is he's not being hanged. Thomas said, that said, if the judge ordered himself explicitly to be sodomized in prison for the remainder of his life, there's only so much outrage I could muster. I just think the death penalty.
Listen,
so these people need to be hung.
Hanged. I'm not encouraging it to happen. I'm just saying that if it did happen, which from what I'm aware it can do in prisons, is that I would have no sympathy and shed no tears for this man. I'm not saying that that would be justice.
No, I'm not saying it's going to be justice either. Justice would be him swinging.
Yeah.
Russian Garbage Human says, watching Daryl be treated with kid gloves for the entire trial really pissed me off. So much patience from the judge and everyone around. So much mollycoddling. So many second, third, and fourth chances for being given any measure of even the tiniest pushback against him trying to make a mockery of the legal system. I was feeling exactly the same. I was watching those clips thinking, well, if that were me, they would just club me around the back of the head.
Yeah, maybe it's because he is so obviously unhinged that they were like, let's not do anything that might make him fly off and try and assault one of the jurors, although that might not help his case also.
But I think he's right. I feel like if this were any other person, especially a white person who committed the same atrocity, which it is, none of this circus clown act would have been tolerated, and rightfully so. But oh no, we have to give all the chances possible because BLM and Antifa may burn us down. There is a point that this may have been done done to prevent a future appeal of having any chance of success. Maybe, but still, this was painful to watch. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, Casey says, Harry pronounced it correctly. It's Walkershaw.
There you go. Take that.
Listen, Americans, right?
We gave you your language, first of all.
And if you're gonna write something that's spelled Waukesha, it's not pronounced Walkershaw. Now get back to Arkansas.
For years, I thought that's how it was actually pronounced.
Why wouldn't you think
that? Well, because I read it. It's one of those...
Kansas. There's Arkansas.
There you go.
No, it's Arkansas, but it's not Corsor or whatever.
BS. They must have been on the moonshine when they came up with those names.
Yeah. Binary says, it's very common for people who kill children to be violently abused or killed in US prisons. Sleep tight, Daryl. Yeah.
Exactly my point.
Dane Scotty says he's on the sex offenders register. Leftist terrorist thug is also a vile degenerate pervert, more 11. Who could have predicted this?
I know. Right? This is the one thing we didn't expect to happen.
And this is a good comment by Bald Eagle as well. This judge, quote unquote, allowed Brooks to control the courtroom. Yes. That's exactly how I felt about when I was watching those clips. Brooks is a pathological narcissist that was upset that he's finally held responsible for his actions. This judge is a weak, pathetic, spineless, and ineffective figurehead that was scared to deal with Brooks. Let the bailiffs and deputies use the shock ankle bracelets until he complies and follows the decorum of the courtroom. That's exactly what I'm asking for. Like, she's literally got these two big burly dudes behind her. So you'd be like, Daryl, oh, Mr. Brooks, you sit down and be quiet, or else.
Sadly, I can understand why they wouldn't do something like that, which is the BLM Antifa threat. If there was a if there was footage going around online of him being treated that way, they would take it completely out of context. They would ignore anything that he'd done up leading up to it, and they would use it to organize outside of the courtroom.
That is a very sensible position, but I'm with Bald Eagle. He deserves the shock angle. Baron von Warhawk says, it never ceases to amaze me, the quality of people's crazy leftist support. A man plows a car into a parade and Redditors want him released. Then again, he did kill an 8-year-old child, so they probably view it as a late-term abortion. That's very dark. But it is amazing, isn't it? There's just no one on earth the left won't reflexively jump to the aid of, as long as their skin colour is correct. Yeah. Black guy, well, quick.
As long as they assume they've got the right political opinions.
Yeah, well, I mean, he did have the right political opinions. And the right skin color.
Because he hated white people.
Yes. S.H. Silver says, as entertaining as it is to watch this lunatic squirm, he should never have been judged capable of self-representation. I sincerely hope that doesn't give him any extra chance on appeals. Well, yeah.
Personally, I just think it made him look more guilty. Because you look at that man's behavior and you go, okay, that's the kind of guy who would plow through a Christmas parade.
Yes, he does seem the type. Bleach Demon says, the Brooks trial was a wild ride. Watch the whole thing. And his attempts to portray himself as a victim for not seeing his kids again.
Oh, well, think about the kid that you ran over.
The only thing he was missing was a clown nose and train whistle. But what else do you expect from a sovereign citizen?
Yeah, that's what he claimed he was. I'm a sovereign citizen. I don't abide by your laws and rules. Sorry, it doesn't work that way, yeah. But...
For community service, Daryl Brooks needs to just clear the Stop Oil protesters from the streets. Lord Nerevar says... I'm not going to say a lot on Daryl Brooks. All I will say is that he's scum of the lowest order. I'll be careful with what I say so I don't give team cause to cross bits out. Sorry, guys. Capital punishment is too good for him. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it was interesting seeing him try to act like a professional, actual person. Because I saw some clips of him trying to cross-examine witnesses, and he was trying to put on, you know, a professional voice. And the second he started interacting with the judge or something doesn't go the way that he wants, he immediately start talking like this and doing that kind of thing like the gangsters do. And it's very strange. He reminded me of... Have you watched It's Always Sunny? Oh, well, one of the characters, Charlie, keeps thinking that he's a lawyer because he keeps saying that he's an expert in bird law. And he'll just, like, stand up in courtrooms and just shout objection at random intervals. It came across like that.
Hmm. Someone online says, does that trial remind anyone else of school? That's what it was like in occasional classes where they were actually taught maths. Yeah, that it did have that kind of school class feel, classroom feel, didn't it? Where the teacher was just like, oh, I'm scared of the way this student's acting. It's like, dude, you literally have the full force of the law behind you. Use it. And Omar says, the Daryl Brooks is a sad case of someone who never experienced a greater authority. I think he just sees woman in robe and can't understand the scope of how little control he has over a courtroom. Literally treats the place like his bedroom. Her being a weak woman in robes probably didn't do much to reinforce that message. Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Like, she seemed to have demonstrated genuine personal weakness when dealing with him. Like, I'm just thinking, like Judge Judy or something. Like,
she wouldn't say, I'm scared of this man.
No! She just went, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get out. Ankle bracelet. Shock him. You know? Like...
I would personally have control of the remote, so yeah, I could just do it.
Like, until he's just like on the floor twitching. You know, like, sorry, there's no excuse that she's a woman, that she is going to admit to being afraid of this guy. There's no excuse for this. You know, no excuse. I can think of a dozen women who would never admit such a thing in their wildest dreams. Just insane. Maureen says, and that's why I don't like Christianity or any other religion. I made peace with God, so my conscience is clear. Just punishment can't be substituted by a prayer. Your beliefs do not lift you above the law or above your victims. Yeah, well,
I think it's the misuse of Christianity and religion.
That's a nice way of framing it, because, I mean, I just think that there is a certain kind of person who just really doesn't understand and doesn't feel compassion at all. You know, they just don't. And so there's no point trying.
Well, that's the thing, is that Daryl, shockingly enough, did not come across like a particularly intelligent person. No. And there is a link between intelligence and your ability to empathize, because it requires abstract thought.
Yeah. Wuhan wet market. If you could if you could travel back into the 90s and see what you see what happens to Britain after Blair and immigration, how hard would you campaign against him? Imagine if there was a second chance to prevent all of this. What would you be willing to do to have stopped it? I think UK law prohibits me from answering that question. Leonardo DiCaprio says, I literally subscribed right now to convince Carl to call the PM Rishi Rich from now on. I will do that. Rishi Rich. Just for you. Just Leopardado me. DiCaprio. Right, that's all we've got, folks. So we will be, for our Gold Tier members, we will see you in an hour, back here on LoadSeas.com. And for the rest of you, we will see you next week. Have a great weekend, folks.